Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Singer of Bad Company in the 1980s and 90s. They are the artists of the day. It is 4 o'clock. We will be doing Festivus Friday coming up right after the 5 o'clock news. It's brought to you by Michelob Ultra. Please drink responsibly. Sam, did I hear that we have our quarantine conversation ready?
Yes.
Let's bring him in. Hello, quarantine conversationer.
Wow, now I know how Chris Katz feels when he gets a random call, and he never knows what he's going to get himself into.
Ladies and gentlemen, from KCPT, it is Nick Haynes.
Hi, my favorite bald British person.
Oh, well, thank you. I hope you're wearing pants today, Dana.
I am not wearing pants right now, Nick Haynes.
I'm mowing the lawn and I will wear pants. That's how I want to be seen in this neighborhood and in this community.
How are
you?
Yeah, you
probably should wear pants outside.
But inside, you don't have to wear pants. I mean, that's the great thing about coronavirus is you don't have to wear pants.
You know, I've been one of those people, though. Actually, as most reporters and journalists have been holed up in their basements, I have been one of the few people who actually goes to work every single day.
And you have been doing Week in Review, one of my favorite programs on KCPT of all time. You have been doing it in like a Zoom fashion, which has worked really well, actually.
Yeah, and I've actually really enjoyed it because one thing is, if you come into a radio station, for instance, and people get a little bit more tense, they get a little bit more nervous. When you walk into a television station, people clam up even more. So when you can reach people from the comfort of their sofa, from their home office, or wherever they happen to be, it creates a much more intimate, friendly conversation than you'd ordinarily get.
Why do English people sound smarter than American people?
Well, I tell you what, it's a double-edged sword. Some people think it's the most amazing thing ever, and they do believe that. Others, you know, say, are you only on television because of your accent? So it can go both ways. I like it, other than if we talk about sports. And so if we are going to talk something about the Royals, and if I'm talking about sports, I'm really talking about the business of sports. But people will say, I don't mind you talking about politics, but if it's anything to do with sports, stay in your lane. We don't want people telling us about baseball or football.
So you're not allowed to have an opinion about baseball or football?
Well, I tend not to use my opinion anyway, but they don't even like it that I even mention it because that's something only reserved for Americans to have a conversation about. Even though I have now lived here, I've gone through that tipping point. I've lived here longer than I lived in the UK, but the accent remains, and people are always going to say, hey, he's British, and I have no problem with that. But I became an American citizen in 2000. And so, but still, the British accent remains, and people will always view you as sort of British.
Do you think you'll ever lose the British accent?
They say, you know, I think after the age of 14 or so, and you move somewhere, you don't basically lose it. Now, if I talk to somebody from the UK, I talk to family, they think I sound incredibly American. A lot of that
what?
Has to do with
really?
Word choice. Yeah, but word choice and phraseology is, you know, there are things that Americans say, like, I guess. Okay, British people would never say, I guess. You could say with British accent. It's like, oh, what is? That's a very American thing. So the certain phrases that people say and the sentence construction is American, even if you say it with a British accent.
Wait,
interesting. I never thought about that. You don't say, I guess, over there?
Well, first of all, you wouldn't say, I guess. You wouldn't say, hi. Hi by itself is very American. Because there you're going to say, hello. You're just not going to say that.
Wait. Hang on, Nick. Are you telling me, like, over in England, nobody says, hi?
That's a very American thing. Yeah. Hi.
And then, I guess, what do you say? I suppose?
It's just not part of my phraseology. I suppose. yeah, I just said it. So, yes, Data, I'm going with you.
I'm just trying to think of what else you would say if someone said, well, I guess you're saying they just don't even say it. Like, even I suppose would not be something you'd say.
You just said, I guess.
Oh, I did. I said it.
She said it. I said, I suppose.
Huh. Well, what else do you not say over there that we say over here? Now I want to know.
Yeah, I do too.
Well, you know, it's the kind of words you know, even saying have a nice day is a very American thing. I mean, you're not going to get that unless people are trying to sound American in the UK. It is just not a phrase that people would say.
So you in the UK, you don't say have a nice day. What do you say? Go kill yourself? I mean, what?
I was going to say, go blank yourself.
It wouldn't be, you know, there is that, you know, Americans are incredibly, or at least outwardly, more positive and want to be seen to be that way, even if behind the scenes they're on antidepressants and do not go to sleep without drinking copious amounts of alcohol or medicated drugs. Okay, but you have to give the impression that everything is fine, great, actually. Even now, I was just at the grocery store. You just called me as I come back from the grocery store, and there are people wearing masks, and they look as unhappy as can be, and you'll say, hey, how's it doing? Oh, terrific, you know. Like, wow, okay. You know, people just want to be seen. You have to say those things.
So wait, if I was in England, though, and I ran into you, and you were not having a good day, and I said, how are you doing? Are you more likely over in England to say, you know,
go
I'm
F
really,
yourself.
I'm really having a rough time today, and here's why. You just don't fake it.
They may tell you that, or they will simply just say, okay, or fine. They will not go much, but they will never feign this positivity of
right.
That you have to go overboard in saying how, oh my God, so it's an amazing day.
What a horribly negative group of people you guys are.
No.
I think that is why, you know, people, I remember my brother telling me that he was in a work situation and there was an American there. And how intimidated he was. Because Americans, by and large, will talk about anything. You can ask them anything and they're basically going to have an opinion about it. Whereas British people tend not to do that. And so he got very intimidated. But it didn't mean necessarily that the American knew a lot about any of these things, but they felt far more comfortable giving you their perspective on whatever it happened to be.
Damn right. All right. Hey, Nick, we need to take a break. But I want to know what you're binging on, what you're reading.
Oh, yes, sir.
Don't answer it yet. Don't answer it yet. We'll get to that in just a minute, okay?
All right.
The great Nick Haynes, ladies and gentlemen. He is your coronavirus conversation, your quarantine conversation here on Dana and Parks. Email, if you have a question, by the way, for Nick Haynes, 22980. Festivus Friday comes your way right after the 5 o'clock news here on Dana and Parks. We'll be right back. out, ladies. Speaking of British, bringing our quarantine conversationalist, Nick Haynes, from Kansas City's Week in Review on Channel 19, KCPT. Nick, it's always good to hear your voice, and you always sound smarter than we do.
Thank you very much, and I wear pants. By the way, before any of this happened, I was at AMC Movie Theater, and I was walking with my kids through the parking lot, and a guy came up to me and said, crossed his hands and said, I didn't think you'd wear jeans. And so there is an expectation of what you're going to wear, and if you're British, what you're going to watch. And I know you want to talk about binge watching, but because you have a British accent doesn't mean you have to be a fabulous lover of Downton Abbey, which I know Dana loves. And I know that, Scott, you think it's silly and that it's just British people walking around a manicured piece of grass.
That is correct.
But I am actually not a fan of period British dramas. That is not what I watch.
Ooh.
Wait, you don't like British programming?
Oh, I love British programming, but I don't like the kind of British programming that we often see in the United States, which is a sort of upper middle class, wealthy view of what Britain is, and just like anywhere else, you've got people from a variety of socioeconomic backgrounds. I myself am from a very working class industrial steel town, and have gone through and lived in public housing most of my growing up life. I remember as a young child even, and this is an interesting thing, because people have an expectation, because you have a British accent, but I remember my mother telling me, God rest her soul, as we come towards Mother's Day, but I remember as a young boy, I was one of three boys, she was a single parent, we had to hide behind the sofa because somebody was going to come and they were going to take our stuff away. And I remember that we would hide behind the sofa, and so that was my background. Well, we didn't have a vehicle. We would use, public transit. And so that was my experience. And so that when I come here, I have a certain empathy, obviously, then for people who are on the margins and who are not doing well. And so when we get calls, and as you know, it can be very hateful in the media. So people are going to constantly barrage you with negativity. What do you know about this? What do you know about that? But it's not the McCain show, but yet I want to, I have a lot of empathy for people in that yeah. position.
What town in England are you from? I mean, everybody would assume you're from London,
from
but
Wales.
You're not. You're from Wales.
I'm from Wales, and, okay. Which is it's right on the beach. It is a town called Port Talbot. On one side of the beach is British Steel Corporation, and on the other side is British Petroleum Chemicals. So even though it's right on the beach, they say of Port Talbot you can smell it before you see it, because all of those fumes are going up into the air. But it's the same hometown as Richard Burton and Anthony Hopkins, as in Silence of the Lambs fame. And, of course, Good Things Come in Threes, as my grandmother used to say, and Nick Haynes is from that view.
I love it. Did you watch The Crown, Nick, or did you not like that either?
I didn't watch that either. You want to talk about binge watching. Those are not the type of shows that I tend to watch, no.
Okay, what do you watch?
All righty. So if you come to my house, and any of my kids will tell you, I am a religious Chicago PD fan.
Ooh.
I watch that show. Then I watch, even today, all of the reruns of Law and Order, but only Criminal Intent. Not the other ones. It has to be Criminal Intent. I do watch Restaurant Impossible, where they're showing you they usually berate the person who's running the restaurant. But my wife thinks I should be in the hospitality business, but I'm very focused on customer service. But I love that show, and that's Robert Irvine, who was a British chef. But that show I love. Those are the things that I will really sort of binge-watch all of those.
Do you ever go back?
I haven't been back in quite some time. In fact, we have four kids, and they play the same as you and I.
Yeah.
And so we try to encourage friends and family to come out here. My brother was going to go on a fly drive trip from New York City up to Canada. So we said, well, why don't we meet you? And we went to New York City, and we met them there, and we spent 3 or 4 days with them, and they went off on their travels. They've been to Kansas City before. They think it's a great city, and as do I. And but we try to encourage them to come out here. Though I do have, unfortunately, a niece who's actually terminal right now with cancer, and that's an unnerving experience because we can't, you know, the opportunities for travel are different right now. So we're sort of working that out right at this moment.
Why did you decide to become an American, Nick?
So I met my, I was one of 12 people taken on in the radio news division of the BBC. And I was at the University of Essex, which is in England. And my wife now was at KU, did her junior year abroad at a British university. And we met there, and I fell in love with her immediately. And we had a transatlantic relationship for 3 years. But, you know, we hear a lot about immigration as if this is somehow a new problem, but it's always been a problem. And so even back then, my wife had a six-month work visa. And she, about 2 weeks before the end of her work visa, we had a police constable in full uniform come to our apartment about 8 o'clock at night, knock on the door, and to tell her that she needed to leave the country soon because her visa was going to expire in 2 weeks. Now, can you imagine, now we're talking the early 90s. No country really wants anybody in it, unless they have tons of money. They really do not, or you have a specific skill, like you're a scientist or something, where there's a desperate need. And so it was, the reality was, either she was going to come and live in the United Kingdom and be married with me, or I had to come here and be married. And so that's what we did. And that was in 1991.
Nick Haynes, it's been an honor and a privilege to talk to you, and thank you for joining us on the show on short notice.
Well, this is something I have to say. I listen to your show every single day, so you have to know that. I can actually probably go through the script of every single one of the advertisements as well. but I do love you guys. You do an excellent job, and I know a lot of people think that, but I still listen every single day. Terrific job, and I love you both.
Right. Well, we love you. Thank you for coming on. You come on anytime. Anytime.
Thank you.
All right. Be well, my friend. Be safe, okay?
Thank you very much.
All right. When we get back, the mayor of Kansas City, Missouri, Quentin Lucas, will join us here on Dana and Parks.
I'm a little lover boy. Yeah, I love my
The great Stevie Ray. Here on Dana Parks. Don't forget, we got Festivus Friday coming your way right after the 5 o'clock news. That's brought to you by Michelob Ultra. I digress. We have the mayor of Kansas City, Missouri, the Honorable Quentin Lucas, joining us on the KMZ Hotline. Mr. Mayor, good afternoon and welcome. It's good to have you on the program.
It is always good to be with you all. I hope you're having a good Friday.
We are. I got a news release from your office earlier today. We are set to go on May 15th. Is that correct?
That is correct. We will. We've already done a little bit of a soft opening in Kansas City already. Next Friday, we will have most every business in Kansas City open again.
Now, you had us worried yesterday.
Well, you know, my favorite thing, and Dana, this is proof that you are still an outstanding reporter, because yesterday, you know, I'm doing the press conference, and then I finish talking, and I'm like, any questions? And
yeah, they sent the interns. We know.
Yeah.
Right. I'm like, really? I could have sworn I said newsworthy stuff.
It was nothing but green reporters in there. They were all green.
I looked at Scott and I go, do I need to go down there? Is no one going to ask him about the, what did he just say about the date? And then I tweeted you and you said more information tomorrow. And I go, oh, hell, they're moving the date.
But you broke the story yourself just watching and like tweeting. But anyway, now, you know, we've had some outbreaks in the region. Certainly you guys have probably been talking about St. Joe, the meatpacking plant. About 100 and I think 20 or 30 of those people live in Kansas City. And so we've already been trying to kind of stem that, make sure that's contained. We have the nursing home yesterday up north. And so that was just enough to say and to make us at least stop and look at, all right, is it still smart for us to take all the steps that we're doing towards reopening? As you all have probably seen, Dr. R. Archer, as he should, takes his job very seriously. So we had more conversations about that today, but I think we came to the decision that, you know, you can still reopen responsibly. There isn't a new kind of broad set of community spread beyond that, which we already anticipate. And so we thought we could proceed with our next phase of opening.
Now, Mr. Mayor, with all respect, Dr. Archer wore a mask yesterday at the briefing. You did not. Why?
So I always wear a mask into a venue and as I'm going through and navigating public spaces. When I am speaking, as you'll note, usually there's no one perhaps other than the interpreter who is next to me. So I wore it at the beginning of the press conference. I always wear it on the way out and when I'm going through crowds. But usually if it's just me speaking kind of directly to a set of cameras, nobody's close. That's why I will not. Dr. Archer,
Do you wear one in public? Sorry to interrupt.
Oh, no, you're fine. And I do. It's something I've had to train myself to do as well because it is not a normal thing. But, I've started wearing it, probably increased over recent weeks. And since we're all going to be living with COVID around our community, it's something that we'll all have to get used to.
I have to go squirrel here because you brought up the sign language interpreter. I made note to track you or her down at some point. I would love to have a conversation with her. She is outstanding.
She is really talented. And you know, the funny thing is, and I know I can usually not do too much levity, but like all of the sign interpreters have become kind of famous because it's the same person all the time. So like there's that skinny guy with Governor Parson all the time, you know, who's wearing a dark suit and like a black shirt and black tie. I'm always like, dude, lighten up a little. But you know, then there's our wonderful Casey Moe lady, who is just really cool, by the way, too. You guys would like her. And I know Governor Kelly has like the same, I think it's a lady most of the time. I mean, really interesting people we're getting to know.
Well, they're so dramatic. And I must be honest with you, Mr. Mayor. Yesterday when we were broadcasting your news conference, I was talking to Sam off the air and I said, I can't watch him. I can't stop watching her.
I think, you know, I mean, I really do think maybe we should just keep them around for speeches from here on out because they are just really a lot more interesting.
What you need to do is put them in a little box on the bottom because your message to me was lost.
There's a reason I sent the tweet.
Right. That was exactly the point there, Scott. it's been fun.
Hey, real quick, and all kidding aside, can you talk a little bit about just the different dates? And there has been some confusion, and it's just because there are different dates, there are different phases, and there are 63 different cities and two states and a bunch of counties. Where are we? When can I go out again?
Yeah, I mean, my general view is this, that by next weekend, you can go out anywhere. I don't encourage you to, of course, but you can probably safely go out and about, you know, wherever you'd like. I had somebody this week who said, hey, thanks, Lucas, for your soft opening. I just got my nails done. And I said, oh, where's your shop? And they're like, yeah, like 95th and Knoll or something. And I said, yeah, that ain't my order, but, I guess they got a bit of a head start.
That's coming, in my neighborhood.
Right. Coming pretty soon, I mean, it'll be everyone. Here's the thing. Like, we are all transitioning from the what date, what bureaucratic hurdle do you have to hop over. And I'm even kind of changing my messaging to, all right, how are we going to get through this? This is going to be around with us. You know, how do we handle it responsibly? And how can we make sure that we're still trying to enhance our testing, our tracing, all that sort of stuff? So, you know, it's coming soon. I think most everywhere. I know Kansas still has some things that will open perhaps on May 18th, because I know Governor Kelly pushed those back a bit. But, you know, by and large, we're going to be in a place of normalcy, I think, as normal as it will get by next weekend.
There was a survey that came out, Mr. Mayor, this morning. I believe it was NBC News that reported this, that 60-some-odd% of Americans think we're opening too early.
Yeah.
Is that a concern of yours?
You know, it is. I get a lot of flack in a number of different directions. But one of the reasons, in case you're wondering, maybe you've had to talk about it, we have this kind of strict 10-10-10 rule that some people hate is because we wanted to make sure that as we're opening, we are opening very gradually. And that's one reason, if you're wondering why our different jurisdictions are different in our orders now, it's because I wanted to make sure we still had that strict kind of approach for how we were doing things. And that's you know, what our plan is, to try to, at best, mitigate against it, because I have that same grave concern that we see a spike in cases that is beyond just being explained by more testing, and we have more people ill. I think that's a huge thing that we have to be worried about.
Well, and it is impossible from where you sit, or anyone, Mayor, and my hat's off to you for this, because it is truly impossible to balance public safety with the business owners and their rights and their need to have a livelihood, and do it in a way where everyone is happy. There's no way.
You know, it has gotten so, you know, kind of challenging. And, you know, I'll be honest, I'm on the left, but I'm not the most super lefty. And so I've even had some discomfort, you know, trying to figure out what a business can do. You know, it's not really what a mayor is largely elected to do. But at the same time, you know, I also have the very real concern of people who are saying, you know, hey, you're the one who's kind of keeping us safe, particularly because, as you probably caught over the last few months, the governor of Missouri and I have some disagreements on, you know, what should be open and when. And, you know, I think that's why we have to really make a good transition to, look, we know this isn't perfect, just like we know maybe our approach the last month wasn't perfect. I thought it was necessary. We shut down things. We've done that. And now it looks like we're on a reopening phase. We have to come to a good balance on both of them.
Are we coming down the curve, so to speak, Mr. Mayor, in Kansas City, Missouri? Are you seeing a steady decline?
You know, in Kansas City, we are. You know, the challenge is that we don't live on an island. And I think we've all seen on the news, you know, there's a crazy situation up at the Lansing Correctional Facility in northeast Kansas, the meatpacking plant in St. Joe. I mean, it's... Yeah. You know, we're going to continue to have these things kind of around us. And that, to me, is probably a grave threat, because that gets back into the community. But no, I mean, the reason that we even did this May 6th soft opening, May 15th regular opening, is because we had 4 weeks of a sustained decline in Kansas City, Missouri. I know that's not the experience in every county in this metro, but I felt like we've been in a good place.
Mr. Mayor, how much concern do you have that there will be a second wave, that you may have to shut everything back down again?
You know, I say somewhat realistically, and this is one area where I may depart from my director of public health. I mean, it's going to take a lot to shut things back down. That's why I think it is so important for us to get it right, up to and including putting on a 10% capacity rule, and then increasing it to 25 and increasing to 50 and so on. Because, you know, I think if we were to open too soon, and I mean, you guys answer calls every day. I mean, if we open too soon and then we see a spike, I don't know if on June 4th everybody's going to say, oh, yeah, I'll go do 6 or 7 weeks in my house again, and, you know, and that sort of thing. And so that's why my real focus is getting it right. I do have a fear that there's ultimately a real spike at some point, and we'll cross that bridge when we come to it, but we're trying to do as much as we can to avoid it.
Mr. Mayor, Quentin Lucas, always appreciate your time. You're very generous with it, and we thank you for your time. Best of luck to you, sir.
Okay, thank you all, and happy Mother's Day, Dana. Mm,
thank you so much, Mayor. Thank you.
Be well, Mr. Mayor. You take care. Be safe. Telephone number here is 576-7798. Kansas City is opening up on May 15th. May 15th. 576-7798. Hey, we got Festus Friday coming up in a few minutes.
Okay. And I am texting Sam now.
Uh-oh.
Because apparently my mother is available and would like to talk to you, Scott Parks.
You get that woman on the phone.
And I just texted Sam the number, and this is, I was laughing during the break. She just posted on Facebook while she apparently anxiously awaits our phone call. That my farmer friend used his stimulus check that came in the mail apparently to buy baby chickens.
Okay.
He got his money for nothing and his chicks for free. About once a week, she will send me the worst joke I've ever heard in my life. And man, that's one of them.
That's pretty bad. That is pretty bad. Sam, you get that woman on the phone. I want to talk to Big Juicy. You let me know when she's in here. We're going to do Festivus Friday coming up right after the 5 o'clock news. It is brought to you by Michelob Ultra. We encourage you, as always, to drink responsibly. Story here from Fox News, so you know it's true. Breakfast is the most important meal of the day, but apparently nobody is buying it. The restaurant and fast food industries are facing many struggles during this coronavirus pandemic, and breakfast may be the toughest, according to a new report. This report says that people are not buying breakfast during lockdown, or screw the story. Let's go to Big Juicy.
I did see the story. Apparently, no one is driving through and buying breakfast. But yeah, that's probably better for you anyway.
Really, really interesting. Hey, Big Juicy, you're on the air. Hi.
Hey, you guys. How are you?
Well, we're doing well. How are you doing, sweetheart?
Oh, you know, we're still in lockdown and nothing to do, and I'm not getting. You'd think I'd use this time to be productive. Mm-hmm. Oh my God, I haven't done a thing. I mean, I have not cleaned. You'd think I'd be using this time productively, mm-hmm. but I'm just not.
I know that's right.
I mean, I'll load the dishwasher, you know, and make meals. But my God, mm-hmm. Craig is home all day. I'm making 3 meals a day. That means I've got to load the dishwasher and unload it every day. Usually mm-hmm. I only do it like once every other day.
My fault.
So,
and mother,
yeah,
you know, it's important that you guys stay inside.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you know,
go ahead.
Go ahead.
Well, we're talking about coming and seeing you, but I'm looking online to see if we're breaking any rules.
No, you're not breaking any rules. Mm-hmm. You get to come and see me.
Mm-hmm. Well, it says non-essential social mixing is not allowed.
Well, we're not really mixing, and we're certainly essential.
Well, but if you do that, Big Juicy, I think you guys need to stay away from each other in the driveway. I mean, you could do like a driveway visit.
Yeah,
but on Sunday we're going over to my mom's house for Mother's Day. By the way, Happy Mother's Day, and God bless
you. Thank
you. But we're gonna have a Mother's Day lunch in my mom's driveway, and she's gonna be more than 6 feet away from us. You could do that with Dana. You could go to her driveway.
How do you do that without hugging her? I just want to hug everybody.
Well, here's what I don't want to do. Yes, I want. I can't wait to hug my mom again. But I don't want to kill her either. And so...
No. Obviously.
I told her, Big Juicy, I want the inheritance. I just don't want it right now.
Well, so I guess we're going to try that. We wanted to go see Austin, too, but he's not feeling well. I'll be definitely have to stay away from him.
Yeah. Well, I've been looking at Austin's Facebook page. You might want to stay away from him for a while.
Oh, is he still sick?
Sick in the head, yeah.
He's such a good boy.
Oh, you're coming to talk about his politics, yeah.
Mother, we have a big back patio. We have plenty of room. We can social distance back here and still have a wonderful Mother's Day.
We'll just have to lovingly knock elbows, I guess.
No, don't even do that.
I'm not knocking your elbow.
Is that a euphemism?
No.
You can't high five, so you knock elbows, I thought.
Is that how Dana came into this world? You and Craig were knocking elbows?
You knock elbows, you know, that's the way you touch each other.
Hey, Scott.
Yeah, Craig.
We've been social distancing for a long time. For about the last, I don't know, maybe 10, 15 years, we call that sex.
Oh, my God, Craig, get out of here. Well, he always has to bring that into this. God, you bring the worst out in him, Scott.
I didn't do it. I just wanted to talk to you.
You make him do it.
I don't make him do it. What are you talking about?
Oh, honey.
Oh, God, here he comes again.
You guys have been in quarantine too long. You need to get out of that house.
Very long. Very long. It has been quite interesting.
Hey, Craig.
Yeah.
We got to get to the news, but why don't you guys go knock some elbows again?
Oh, stop it.
We'll work on it.
Oh, my God.
If we had time, I would love to weigh in on your topic earlier today as a dad, but you probably don't have the time to do that.
No, we don't.
All right.
Just go knock some elbows.
Okay. You called this woman to tell her a happy Mother's Day. Do we really have to end it this way?
Okay, fine. Let me get Big Juicy back on. Big Juicy.
Goodbye.
No, wait. Big Juicy, don't. No. No.
What?
Hey, I mean this from the – I'm being serious right now.
Okay.
I want to wish you a happy Mother's Day. You're an incredible mother, and you're an incredible woman. And
thank you.
And I just want to wish you a happy Mother's Day.
Well, thank you so much. Hey, by the way, Scott, there's a gift for you once you get back to the radio station.
Okay, I don't know when that's going to be, but thank you very much.
You're welcome. Well, I know that you were in Mexico, so. All right, bye-bye.
All right, we love you. Be good. Happy Mother's Day.
I love you.
Festivus Friday is next, brought to you by Michelob Ultra. She's great. She's so great. Brought to you by Michelob Ultra, 576-7798. We're going to get our grievances on here in just a moment on Dana and Parks.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at kmbz.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.